It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Later conversation over because I think that's pretty much unanimous. This win would turn the NFL on its ear. It would give the Steelers a rightful claim to being the team with the best chance in the AFC to knock off Kansas City, pending the result of that Chiefs-Bills game later in the afternoon Sunday. If Buffalo goes down, then the Steelers rise up the chart and now considered the number one contender ahead of Buffalo, who would have lost to them, and Baltimore, who lost in week one. So they would occupy that spot. That's with a win. We all know that. I do wonder how we would react to a loss here. And so I'll frame it this way. If the Steelers were to lose a heartbreaking game where they gave up a score in the last 2 minutes, and it's like Rocky won, they're right there with Apollo. They're not looked at as like the plucky underdog Cinderella, but it's just a slobber knocker, drag you out for 12 rounds type of game, and they barely lose.
Tucker actually hits a 50-plus starter.
They barely lose.
Okay. What's my reaction?
Can they get moral victory points in this game?
They would take any. I would feel like it validates them still. I still think Baltimore is one of the 5 best teams in the NFL.
So you do think that there's a path where we could come out of this game feeling better about the Steelers even if they lose?
If they lose a game, something 27-26 because Tucker makes a field goal or whatever at the end, and it's a pretty lengthy field goal where it's by no means a chip shot. I think you can come out of it feeling like, even though it was on their Steelers home turf, they went toe to toe with a team that's the best offense in football, held them under their season scoring average, which is 31 and almost 32 a game. In my hypothesis here, my hypothetical, the Steelers still score in the mid 20s. That's still pretty damn good. I think you would have confirmed a lot of your priors about them, even with the loss on the board. Now, where I think it sucks is just tangibly, it eliminates any advantage you had in the division, and now you got to go into their building and win.
Yep.
But it would make me feel like they belonged in a discussion of who are like the 7 best teams in the NFL. I would feel like they'd have to be talked about as one of them.
Donnie, do you agree with that?
Yeah, if the Steelers win this game, I'm going to start with saying they win this game. If they win this game, I think they're a Super Bowl contender, even if we didn't think they were before. Barring injury, they will be in the conversation of like top 5 to 6 teams in the league, and that absolutely makes them a contender.
They'll be one of the top dogs, Donnie. You can say it.
Yeah. I mean, if they beat the
Ravens.
Did
they have a medical malpractice?
Oh, yeah. They're going to have to make a phone call. If they can beat the Ravens straight up, no injuries on either side, no significant injuries not on either side, then they are in the Super Bowl conversation, no matter what any doubter out there wants to say. And I still won't feel all that bad if they lose to them in a close competitive game. Like if the game plays out the way Chris or you guys just described it, like if they would lose the game, say 34-31 or 35-28, and it is like back and forth, they look like they belong the whole time. It's not them trailing by 2 or 3 scores and they pepper in a few late touchdowns to make it look close, then I'll still feel pretty good about them, because it would mean, okay, they lost, but the probable MVP got the best of them for once.
So they can have a moral victory against their arch rival at home.
I think they can. I think this year they can because we came in with such scattershot expectations for what they could be.
So they're still getting graded on a curve then?
In the sense,
that's what it sounds like.
In the sense that, like, they've been really good since Wilson took over, but it's more about the fact that I think they're playing one of the handful of teams that I know right now in my head can win the Super Bowl. And I know you wouldn't agree with that because you have the burden of proof on Jackson in the playoffs, but if the Ravens won the Super Bowl, I would not be shocked. And so if you have a team coming into your building that I have that, you know, me personally, I have that expectation about or that opinion of, if you play them basically to a damn near standstill to a draw, but you come out on the wrong end of it, it validates a lot of my better feelings.
So my answer is yes, but only if it goes a very specific way. If they lose a game, and I think this is the way you expect the game to go. If they lose the shootout, if they lose like 34-31 or 38-35 or something like that. I don't think I know for me, I can't come in here and say all is fine. The sun came up today. We're still here. We're still alive. They just lost the Ravens at home. We'll get them again in Baltimore and it's all going to work out in the end. Because if it goes that way, that means Lamar Jackson will have played a great game against them. And so the one thing that they have over the Ravens that they are his kryptonite, that's gone if you lose a high-scoring close game. If you lose a low-scoring close game and you still befuddle him and you just are a little bit sloppier, you can't get your offense going, and you lose the game like 17-16, then I do think...
Why wouldn't I
do
be
think
pissed
you can
off?
Play the moral victory card.
Wait a minute. Why wouldn't I be pissed off that a team that's like averaging 31 a game since Wilson took over couldn't get it done against the worst pass defense in football?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that you wouldn't still have – you could still, you know, critique them for that and criticize for them for that. But the biggest thing they have going for them in these matchups is that the few times they've played Lamar, he's looked like a completely different quarterback against them. If that changes or shifts, well then, you know, you can't, when you play Baltimore down there later in the season, say, and hey, the other thing about this matchup is, you know, they're going to make Lamar Jackson look mediocre or look average because he will have just had a huge game here against them. Like, I'll always feel good about future matchups with Baltimore as long as they bring out the nerves and the jitters.
So essentially, if he has
Lamar
one
Jackson.
Good game, the spell is broken on you and you look at it totally
differently. The dam will have broken at that point.
Well, really what you're describing is Joe Burrow, because Burrow's only had what I would call one superb game against the Steelers, and they've actually gotten to him a little bit in other games, but nobody talks about him the way we've talked about Jackson because you've seen the proof of concept.
Yeah, we saw, okay. remember that Bengals game when
he
Ben
just
was still the quarterback?
One in the bucket to Chase at the end of the first half, that one?
I'm talking about the one where like Joe Mixon had a monster game too, and it was like one of the most embarrassing Steelers losses.
I'm trying to remember the one where we thought they were just going to go into the half, and instead he just dropped one right into Chase's hands right before the end of the first half.
Yes,
and everyone goes,
"That was
my.
The game here."
Oh my God!
Burrow's had multiple good games against the Steelers.
I don't think he's had more than two.
I think two is the number.
I don't think he's had more than that, though.
That's two more than Lamar Jackson to this point.
So it sounds like there's just like a spell that if it gets broken here, your opinion like totally changes.
Because my opinion right now is a harsh one.
No, I understand, but it's weird because you're very emphatic about it. You are very convicted about it. But in that sense, it's not like built on a super strong foundation. He has one game. Say in this game they win 31-23. The Ravens do.
Yep.
He throws for 290, two touchdowns, runs for another one. Clean sheet, clean game.
Yeah.
I feel like your whole opinion of him is going to do a near 180.
Well, because part of it for me is not just about the way that the Steelers have him figured out defensively. I mean, we heard Arthur Mollett try to give away their secret or whatever. I do think it's somewhat psychological with Jackson. I do.
Against them specifically.
Against them in playoff games. Like, I do think... I think Peyton Manning fell victim to this for most of his career, putting too much pressure on himself, feeling like, you know, the ghosts of the games I've lost.
Well, Aditi makes it seem like that's plausible. She says this guy's so obsessed with winning it.
Right.
She didn't say it's to his dad. environment, but she made it seem like the guy's completely consumed by rewriting the narrative.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Right, so, you know, if I see him have these moments where he gets completely out of character and he F's up in this game on Sunday and the Steelers still lose, then that'll give me hope that it can continue. But if they lose, because what I want to believe right now is that what's happened in past years is still applicable to this game. If he has a great game, then the stuff you've said about how Lamar Jackson's never been better, and it's a whole different animal playing this team this year because they also have Derrick Henry in this offense, well, then I'll be forced to believe that if they win the game like 34-31 or something like that, and I'll feel like he can repeat it. They blow a lot of good teams out at home. I'll feel really bad about that game later in the year goes that way.
You have a lot of strong convictions. Rare is one that I can think of where it is built on, there's like one plank or whatever you'd want to call it, holding it up. And at any point, it truly could just be kicked through, you know, the door or whatever. It could be kicked out from under you.
Burrow has three really good games against the Steelers, I would say. Two games where his passer rating is over 100. The game you were talking about here in 2022 where he had four touchdowns and threw for 355. And then the other one is the game I'm talking about where he was
the 41-10 game. I mean 190-1-1. I guess that's a good I don't think of that as the game where like he balled out against them.
No, I'm talking about the other two or three touchdowns.
37-30 and 24-10. Yeah, he was good.
So
he has that one stinker though that just sits there in my brain. That all the time, open the season. Yeah, that all time stinker. And then
he was coming back from an appendectomy. We know that can be very hard. Remember,
and then that also the game where they KO'd him and knocked him out for the rest of his rookie year was not.
Wait, I always get this confused. Was he coming back from an appendectomy or was he coming back from the calf injury when the Steelers went in there and beat that?
I think
overtime.
It might have been an appendectomy actually. Very weak.
And Ben missed the game against Miami with an appendectomy.
Yes.
I had that right, Donnie?
Because that was when Batch threw the one to Miller for like 85
Charlie
yards.
Went in.
But then Miller should have been marked out at like the 7, but he wasn't.
Man, remember when we talked
to that was a horrible no-call.
That was 10-cent pitcher night at the Shandy Gap, I think, Penn State. Very dangerous place to go and get blotto because the steps leading to and from the front door, incredibly steep. New people who would just go up and down those steps in a barrel roll.
Donnie, do you still have Heath Miller's contact info?
I have his email somewhere, yeah.
I bet you his is like at AOL.com.
Donnie, I'll make a deal with you. If you can book Heath Miller for tomorrow's show, $100 bonus from me. $100 will get Venmo'd to Big Don if he can make that happen.
Even in my absence?
Yeah, $100. If we get Heath Miller on before a Friday showdown with the Steelers and Ravens for our Remember a Guy segment. You'll have $100 to play with this weekend. Take Sarah out for a nice dinner maybe on Saturday after the high school football games wrap up. $100 to use down at the Rivers when you host the pregame show on Sunday.
I think you should make it 150.
Well, so you want to throw 50 in yourself?
No, I think you should make it 150.
How do we compromise and we'll do 125?
Deal.
But there you go.
I'm not covering a dime of it.
You don't have to.
No, I know.
I think our listeners want to hear Heath. We love Heath. And
we love Heath. We play golf together.
I'll pay Donnie to make it happen.
Do you think, Donnie, percentage chance you can make it happen?
I'm not going to have huge confidence in it. But I mean,
you know what? Great sales tactic.
Somewhere.
Great sales tactic by you. Under promise and over deliver.
Well, Heath reached out to Donnie.
Didn't Heath basically like come on with us when there was no power anywhere in Virginia?
We helped him find a place to watch the game.
Yeah, Ben's final home game, and then I reached out to him initially. We got his contact through like the Steelers alumni service, and then he did send me a nice thank you afterwards, which. He didn't have to do, but he reached out.
How often does that happen with a big name, big time person? Never. And that just goes to show you what an amazing guy Heath Miller is. So you get Heath Miller. Hey, I'll put it out to anybody. If somebody else brings Heath Miller to us tomorrow for Remember a Guy, I'll give them the $125. But I want to give it to Donnie. I want to give him the first crack at this.
I'm laughing at the idea of somebody that is not Donnie managing to book Heath Miller for our show.
Maybe it'll be Johnny the Barber, who's now saying Nick Saban's on his way to West Virginia because he bought a house in Cheat Lake, you were telling me.
He's hearing big Nick Saban scoop.
You know, did you hear that, Donnie?
Big T on Nick Saban.
I mean, he's from West Virginia, like that part
of West
Virginia.
I told that to Johnny the Barber. I said, if he did buy a house or is buying a house in Cheat Lake, that's not a scandal in and of itself. That's where he's from. But
what'd he say back?
He's pretty insane. That there's more to the story. Can you imagine if Nick Saban came to coach West Virginia?
When I was there for a game earlier this year and everyone was pissed off at Neil Brown, they were throwing around crazy ass names. Jimbo Fisher, because he's from West Virginia too. Nick Saban. Somebody said McAfee. And this is people in the working press box, mind you. This is not like...
Well, isn't the working press box down there kind of a...
McAfee got thrown out.
Kind of silly. People cheer in that press box?
I've heard it. Kurt Cignetti, the Indiana coach, his name popped up. Yeah.
Jeff in South Park not liking that I'm telling you how much money did he pay Donnie. Huh.
All right, so as far as injuries go, good day for the Ravens. Yuck. Kyle Hamilton back practicing all the way. Bad news for the Steelers. Boo. Jalen Warren missing practice with back spasms. Steelers insider Ray Fittipaldo joins us right now, brought to you by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, built on relationships, credibility, and integrity. LGKG.com. Ray, if Jalen Warren can't go, does this turn into the Najee Harris show, or do you think Cordarrelle Patterson just takes Jalen Warren's touches and it remains like a 50-50 timeshare at running back?
No, I don't think it would be a 50-50 timeshare, but obviously Cordarrelle Patterson would get more than his, you know, customary 3 to 4 carries. I would guess he would get up to maybe, you know, 7, 8, 9 carries in a game, and, you know, they would feel very comfortable doing that. And, you know, Najee would be the workhorse. You know, it seems like I'm asked every week, whether it's your show or Joe's show, about Najee Harris and the fifth-year option. I'm just going to mention this, and I don't know that it has anything to do with what's going to happen after the season, but Jalen's had a knee injury, he's had a hamstring, and now he's got a back. So if they're counting on him to be the guy next year, like the guy, I don't know if this makes them think twice about what's going on.
Do you think Mike Tomlin in general has had his mind changed broadly about feature backs like bell cows with the way that, generally speaking, this timeshare has gone, as in they wouldn't necessarily pursue another 3-down back again because they feel like this system works better?
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting because when they drafted Najee, he was definitely the workhorse, and now he's in a timeshare situation. So, yeah, let's say Najee's not back. You know, it would be Jalen Warren, I think, and then another back who comes in and you know, is splitting the carries, and then Cordero Patterson is under contract, and, you know, he'd be getting his share next year as well. So, yeah, I don't think, you know, Mike has changed, but it's really been the same for a couple of years now. Ever since Jaylen Warren came onto the scene, it's been the same, and I don't think it's going to change if Najee Harris leaves. I think they would have the same, you know, mode of operation next year if Jaylen Warren was quote-unquote number one, and then a rookie came in and was the second guy.
Ray, if the Steelers had their druthers, would their offensive philosophy in this game be to pound the rock and establish the run, or to attack the worst pass defense in the NFL?
Pound the rock. That's their identity, guys. I mean, I know what you're saying, and, you know, there certainly are going to be situations they're going to take advantage of that Ravens secondary. It's not like they're going to run the ball 45 or 50 times, but I think you get into trouble when you play away from your identity and you try to become something you're not. So I think the Steelers are going to do what they've always done. You know, Arthur Smith mentioned it today. You know, there wasn't a lot going on in the first half of that game in terms of the running game, but he said as that second half wore on, they started to wear down the Commanders' front seven. And that's when Jaylen Warren got going a little bit before that fumble, and that's who they are. That's who they want to be, and I don't really see that changing, even though the Ravens have the worst passing defense in the NFL.
Well, the reason I don't like it, Ray, is they have the best rush defense in the NFL, and I'm not sure you can afford to play that little, you know, take 2 yards now to get 7 yards later approach with Baltimore, because when you're trying to get 7 yards later, they might be up by 3 touchdowns given the way their offense can go off.
Well, that's true, but I also think with Russell Wilson, a quarterback, this team is much better equipped to play in a high-scoring game, really, than they have been since Ben Roethlisberger left. I mean, this game on Sunday, if the Ravens go up by 10 in the first half, the Steelers have the personnel with Russell Wilson and George Pickens and Mike Williams and Pat Freiermuth to come back and to be a factor, just as they were last week when they were down by 10 against the Commanders and came back and won that football game. So I agree with you. The Ravens are certainly capable of having a big game against the Steelers defense, but I would counter that this Steelers offense in the last 3 weeks is probably, I'd say, if you compare them in a three-week span to any other team in the NFL, I bet you they're top five both in yardage and in points scored during that time.
Ray, the Steelers this week have come out and said, either coaches or players, nothing to see here, no problem yet with Joey Porter. Minkah Fitzpatrick, get off my ass for not forcing turnovers. I can't demand that the quarterback throws me the ball. Are they right, or is the fan unease about both players more accurate? What do you think?
Well, I think the fan unease goes back to Joey's days at Penn State, how it was an issue for him then. And then you see it creep in every once in a while, you know, as a pro. But honestly, guys, I mean, that was the first really bad game. And it was a bad game for him, you know, both from a penalty perspective and from the way he covered Terry McLaurin. But, you know, if you're Terry Austin and you're Mike Tallman, do you want to make a lot out of one game, or do you want to let him just play it out and see if he can bounce back? I think Joey will be just fine. I don't expect him to chase Zay Flowers all over the field. That's not a matchup for Joey. They're different body types.
Yep.
So, you know, he'll be on Rashad Bateman, you know, maybe some of their, you know, other secondary receivers, and I expect him to have a good game. So from that perspective, and Minkah as well, Minkah's going to, at some point, the turnovers are going to come, and they're going to come in bunches. And, you know, I will point out, he gave up the big play to McLaurin to open the second half, but he also won that game with that tackle. And if he doesn't prevent, you know, Zach Ertz from falling forward there, that, you know, that game easily could have been lost. So people want to, you know, they want to see the splash plays and the turnovers, but that tackle certainly was one of the bigger plays in that football game as well.
Ray, will Mike Tomlin's mind games work, and will he troll John Harbaugh into giving Deontay Johnson a greater role than he otherwise should have in the Ravens' offense in this game?
I don't know about you guys, but I was in the room when he said that, and I just think he was being 100% honest. Like, Deontay just hasn't done much since he's been there, and he's got other guys to worry about. So, I mean, if that ends up being bulletin board material for the Ravens, then, you know, so be it. You know, they'll be force feeding Deontay Johnson when guys like Isaiah Likely and Mark Andrews can probably do better with their opportunities. So, you know, I know the way it maybe came across if you read it or if you just heard it, but just knowing how Mike, you know, talks in those news conferences, I certainly didn't think anything of it when he said it at that moment.
Ray, what's a more likely outcome Sunday? Lamar Jackson throws three touchdown passes, or Lamar Jackson accounts for three turnovers in the game?
I mean, he can't continue to play bad against the Steelers for his entire career. So I'll say...
Don't tell that to Pony. He's kind of counting on it.
So are you, Ray. You're picking the Steelers to win this game. We're on the same side here, buddy.
Where did you see me give my prediction?
Well,
I
heard...
didn't give it yet.
Well, you haven't given it, but I just heard scuttlebutt from Jeff talking in the media room and on the sidelines there that you appeared to be very bullish on this game. Am I getting bad information from Jeff?
No, I mean, I like the Steelers, but it's always going to be a close game. And I just think Lamar, listen, if he scores, if he accounts for three touchdowns, the Steelers could win 31-27, but listen, their chances are going to go down if he does that, because in the past, in the previous meetings, he's either throwing zero touchdowns and a pick or one touchdown and a couple picks. That's kind of been the formula for the Steelers to win those games.
So if I offered you right now, if I offered the Steelers, I should say, 28 points in this game, do you think they'd take it?
Yeah, because I think their defense will bow up like they did last week and make a play to win the game. Yeah.
Patrick Queen, is he going to be utilized? Well, one, I know he's coming off what I think most people felt is his best game. Do you think he gives them an extra weapon now? Like, how much of an extra weapon is he to combating the Lamar scrambling ability and just the unpredictability of Jackson?
Yeah, I mean, he was really impressive against Jaden Daniels. Not sure if they're going to spy Lamar Jackson. They've kind of shied away from that. You know, in the past,
gave away their entire plan. They send a guy hard at Jackson, and then they tackle the dive. No matter what, they force him to give it up.
Yeah, I mean, it's the controlled rush, not letting Lamar outside the pocket too, is huge in that game plan too. So, I don't know, guys. I think Lamar's going to make his plays in this football game.
More concerned about him or Derrick Henry?
I'm more concerned about Lamar.
Yeah,
like I just watch him in these games that are on TV, and he escapes the pocket. It's like he's floating on air, and then he throws one of these balls way up in the air, and his guys know how to get open in the scramble drill. That's the way the Steelers lose this game. So if Watt, Herbig, and Smith can keep him in the pocket, and Lamar Jackson throws for 300 yards from the pocket, fine. I'd be okay with that. I just don't want to see that guy get out of the pocket and make those Lamar Jackson types of plays, because that's when he's most dangerous.
Is this the week Pat Freiermuth gets going?
I say it every week. I'll say no. You know, Arthur Smith was asked about that today, and he just kind of played it off like, we got a lot of weapons, we're going to use them, and George is going to get most of the targets, and everyone else is going to kind of come in secondarily. So, you know, Pat's always going to be a big part of the game plan. Whether he gets his targets or his touches every week is just going to be from game to game. So I'm not going to predict it like I do every week, but I think eventually Pat's going to break out. I just don't know if it's going to be this week.
Ray, if the Steelers lose a very close game, is there a possibility they could take a moral victory from that? If they lose at the gun because Tucker actually makes a 50-plus yard field goal instead of biffing one like he has all year, do they somehow elevate themselves potentially if it's a 28-26 or 30-28 barn burner?
No, because I mean, you would lose first place in that situation. I mean, these teams are so close, both in talent and, you know, their identities, that I don't think they would take a moral victory there. But I will point out,
we know they wouldn't, but you're allowed to as a man that covers them,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm asking more. I shouldn't have said, would they take it? Would you, as a person covering and evaluating them, take it as that?
No, I would not, because every game in this series is close. I'll point out, and I wrote this today, if the Steelers win, obviously they're a game and a half up on the Ravens with seven to go. If the Steelers win and the Chiefs lose to the Bills in Buffalo, the Steelers control their own fate for the top seed in the AFC. So how about that?
Sweet sassy Mo Lassie. All right, Ray. I'll see you on Sunday.
All right, Pony. See you there. I'll talk Goodbye. To you.
There you go.
Ray. It's Total Request Thursday here on the PM team, live from Bowser Chevrolet in Monroeville, Studio B. Total Request Thursday is a simple conceptual arrangement. We put out four topics on Twitter. You vote. Whichever one gets the highest percentage of the vote is what we talk about. Sometimes we get people saying, why don't you talk about this? Why don't you talk about that? I don't know why all of these people apparently sound like Bob Pompeiani, but let's just roll with it in this hypothetical. Today, Total Request Thursday topic, Steelers-Ravens. Next, Penguins trade. Soto to Pirates. And snakes. Donnie, I always participate, even though Pony puts this out, and vote. What do you think I voted for today?
Snakes.
I did. What did you vote for? Do you partake?
I voted for Soto to Pirates.
That's a very chaotic pick. Neither one of those won. Snakes lost at 10%. Next Penguins trade at 11.7. Soto, 23.5%. 55% of our listeners want more Steelers Ravens talk. I will say, I think the snake story was Russell Wilson related. They found a snake in his locker in Washington and no one could get rid of it. Something like that. That would wig me out, by the way, if it did happen to me.
That place needs burned to the ground.
Yes, it does, actually. And they need to build a stadium in a place that's actually accessible. That's neither here nor there. We're not supposed to talk about what people, what brought up the rear, what was the caboose here. We're supposed to talk Steelers-Ravens. So I will pose this question to you, Donnie. You get to participate now in Total Request Thursday. One thing we haven't discussed, there's been a lot of ink spilled, of breath expended on the idea of, can they hold down Lamar Jackson again for like what essentially is the fifth straight time? I mean, he's had four starts against them. He's played in two other games, but we'll go with the games he started. Can they hold him down again? Let me ask you this one. I want to know what your reaction would be if Russell Wilson, who has been very good since taking over, he threw one moon ball that was a glorified punt for an interception, but otherwise he has turned it over just one other time. And that was the fumble that made the Giants game maybe closer than it probably needed to be. What if Russell Wilson goes out and plays what we'll all agree is just a mediocre football game on Sunday? Just doesn't have his best. They get beat pretty convincingly. Let's say he throws for like 205, one touchdown, but like two interceptions. And just the eye test tells you Russell Wilson did not have a good game. Your reaction if something like that were to happen? Because I bring it up because, A, it's an angle we have not discussed yet, and, B, I feel like that aspect of their three-game run with him, as no one's even, like, considered opening that door yet and bringing it up.
I wouldn't go into level 10 panic mode. I do try to prevent myself from doing that on almost anything.
Which of your friends goes into level 10 panic mode about the Steelers the fastest? You can't count Pony as one of your friends for this argument, by the way.
Well, I mean, then I would definitely say him. I mean, probably my buddy Kyle, who does work with the Wild Things. He gets pretty fired up pretty quickly. But I would be concerned due to it happening against a defense that is one of the worst in football. And I would have in the back of my mind, okay, like maybe he'll bounce right back. But it doesn't really get much easier because it's such a short week right after that game against the Ravens. I don't need him to – I don't need an all-star-like performance. Like, I don't need it to be vintage Tom Brady or Peyton Manning or vintage Russell Wilson for the sake of argument here. But if he does play poorly, I think we're going to quickly start to see people jump right back on the side that they were – at the beginning of the year before he ever came in. Like, okay, Russ had his little run there, but then the worst defense in football beat him up. He threw two or three picks against the worst defense in football. People would have their fun with that. I mean, and I think it's something that would even creep into us. Like, okay, he was pretty good. He was fun to watch for the three games. He was shaky for most of that Washington game until we got to the fourth quarter. He made some huge throws. And then he fell apart against the Ravens. Yeah, I mean, there would be reason for concern.
I think it's just funny how this sort of works because I understand where you're coming from and don't even necessarily disagree when you talk about how we would feel. Roethlisberger was so good for so long that, like, in the midst of his best, they even had a couple 8 and 8 years in what should have been his prime, or was his prime, but he was so good and so productive for so long that towards, I would say, the back part of the really good chunk of his career. So let's say like 15, 16, 17, 18, those last 4 years, he was good enough that if he had a legitimately bad game, like just a stinker, where he threw multiple picks. One, there was usually a rush to blame, like AB, partially led by Ben himself in most cases. And then two, most of the time, if not all the time, I think people just memory hold it and said, whatever, even the great ones have a bad game. What's funny about it is Wilson, resume-wise, is right up there with a guy like Roethlisberger, which is, I think, part of the reason we chuckled and said we thought Ben might have said, oh, no, keep Justin Fields in there, because he kind of knew what Russ was capable of if he still had his fastball. He has that resume, but I think because he's only played 3 games in this system and because the worm turned against him so dramatically in the court of public opinion, I do think that people would have a hard time putting aside a bad performance, even though by resume and by generally speaking the way he's for the Steelers, you should put it aside. But like, it's just a random thought that I had pop into my head because I realized it's the one sort of outcome or eventuality from this game that we really have not discussed as a legitimate possibility. Now, for the record, I don't think he's going to have one, because I actually do think that even if they lose this game, you're not going to come out of it saying Russell Wilson not being able to go toe to toe with Lamar Jackson was the problem. I don't feel that way at all about it. In fact, I would bet much more likely that he throws multiple touchdown passes, multiple interceptions. It's the matter of whether or not I think they're going to allow him to actually put the ball in the air a lot and go away from type that I think is going to be the telling part of this entire little afternoon on Sunday. If Mike Tomlin, this whole Mike Tomlin wants to run the ball because that's their identity and damn it, that's just what they're going to do, scares me. Do you know how many passes Joe Burrow threw in a game that the Bengals probably should have won because they probably should have gotten an extra crack at a 2-point conversion? Did you know how many, you know what his box score was from that game?
Didn't he throw almost 60?
56 pass attempts, 34 of 56, 428, 4 touchdowns. Like, I know they don't have a Jamar Chase.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.